In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. And a Hail Mary for the repose of the soul of Pope Benedict. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 6, 423, 1912. And it's very, very clear. And Jesus added, true sanctity is doing my will and reordering all things in Jesus. So here is something that's shows us how to pray in the divine will. When we pray in the divine will, we pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, number one. And number two, we want to repair, we want to redo everything, past, present, and future. We want to, Jesus says, what the divine will is going to bring about, this prayer of the church, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle us the fire of your love, send forth your spirit, and we will be recreated, and then you will renew the face of the earth through us. This renewal, this repairing, this redoing, Jesus says in the divine will, it's going to look as if Adam never sinned. Those are the words of Jesus to Louisa. And what's really wonderful is tonight's readings, we're going to see very clearly that the church knows what Jesus said. St. Honorable de Francia, everything that was written at that time was approved by St. Honorable de Francia. And even today, when we remember Pope Benedict, he also said the writings of Louisa must be approved, must be published. And it's really beautiful. So true sanctity is not only doing the will of God, but living in the will of God, which means to reorder, to repair. Now, again, this is volume 6, and volume 1 through volume 10, Jesus talks about doing the will of God. When we get to volume 11, he begins to teach Louisa how to live in the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you read volume 1 through volume 10, a lot of people say it's contrary, it's contradictory to what he said later on. No, doing the will of God is one thing that the saints have taught us, and living in the will of God is what Jesus taught Louisa through the power of the Holy Spirit that has to come to the earth. So he says, just as I, Jesus, keep everything in order for humanity, for the creature, so should the creature order all things for me and in me. So our whole job is to become one with the holy humanity of Jesus. Everything that Jesus taught the apostles, everything that he showed on the exterior is volume 1 through volume 10. Volume 11 through volume 36, you know, 11 through 19 is to do the will of, is to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Volume 20 through volume 36 is how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. So there's stages to this, and you're going to see how Jesus teaches. Once we start living in the divine will, then we can begin to embrace the divine inheritance again. This is the life that Adam had. This is the true life of Jesus. This is the true life of Mary. So he says, just as I, God, keep everything in order for humanity, so the soul, the creatures, should order all things for me and in me, in my divine will. He says, everything's kept in order. All things are in order. All things are according to the will of God. So we're learning how to do this step by step. And this is the beauty of this book. The book of heaven is to help us begin to understand the interior life of Jesus. What we've learned for the last 2,000 years is the exterior life of Jesus. And now with the book of heaven, Jesus is going to teach us how to live the interior life of Christ. So We're continuing to talk about Pope St. Pius X. On his tombstone, it is written, born poor and humble of heart, undaunted champion of the Catholic faith, zealous to restore all things in Christ, crowned a holy life with a holy death. So this crowning of his life was his death. And this is what Jesus is asking of us. I truly believe we've entered this new year that Jesus wants us to be zealous. He wants us to have this fervor for what he is going to do, not for, you know, the situation of the world, but what God has planned. Why are we here? What is the reason we are here? In the catechism, to know, love, and serve God. Yes. But more than that, Jesus says, I want you to begin to live in my divine will. And that's what we're learning. And this, we need to be zealous again. We need that fervor for the Catholic faith, that it's not just another religion. It is the life that Jesus breathed in, or excuse me, the Holy Spirit breathed in, the Ruach of God breathed into Adam, into the dust. This life, this light, this love of God is the divine will. So Pope St. John Paul II, the eclipse of the sun, okay, the canonical decree of March 4th, that was Luisa's, March 4th is not only the original inauguration day for the President of the United States, March 4th is Luisa's entrance into heaven, to March 4th into this kingdom of 1997. For the Association Luisa Picaretta in Corrado, Italy, was issued under the reign of Pope John Paul II. And then on the Solemnity of Christ the King, November 20th, 1994, Monsignor Camillo Cassati, Archbishop of Trani, Bellata, Biscaglia, having received the non-obstat star issued by the Congregation for the Cause of the Saints, blessed the opening of the cause of the beatification and canonization of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. Now, Archbishop Cassati wasn't new to this. He worked in the Sacred Sacred Congregation for the Cause of the Saints. That's where he worked. So here he comes from the Congregation for the Causes of the Saints to Corrado. And what does he do? Well, once he gets there, this is the plan of God. We see how powerful our God is, bringing someone right from the Congregation of the Cause of the Saints to be in Corrado to start the cause of Luisa Picaretta. And I remember back in 1986, when the Association Luisa Picaretta began, everyone signed it. Everyone said, this is the greatest thing, we're this association. And since then, so many people signed up, and there were so few people in Corrado that they said, only this is just for the people of Corrado. But something really beautiful is happening. The Association Luisa Picaretta of the Philippines and of the United States has begun. And this is something that is going to be very beneficial for all of us to be part of, because we're going to see how God is working in this powerful way of getting ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. And so that's coming up a little later. Hopefully this year we'll be able to be part of the Association Luisa Picaretta of the United States of the Philippines. That's going to be something that's a real blessing for everyone and for everything. It's going to be really great. So get ready for that. That's something that's really, the Lord's been working on that for a while, and it's going to happen, to be part of this approved, the canonical decree of the Association Luisa Picaretta, not only in Corrado, but now in the Philippines, now in the United States. So some wonderful things are happening. And this is going to happen. This is going to spread all throughout the world. So Camillo Cassati, the Archbishop of Trani, Barletta Biscaglia. Now Biscaglia is I'm not saying that correctly, but the postulator of the cause of St. Honorable de Francia was from there. And after we were at the cause of St. Honorable de Francia and the canonization, and afterwards, Father Pignatelli, that's his name, he came up and he goes, everything is done with Father Inibile. He says, now, Louisa. So as a child, he remembers, because he's from that diocese, he remembers all the beautiful things that were happening with Louisa. And he, as a matter of fact, if you go to the Rogationist Church in Rome, on the back, in the back sack, not the back, the back chapel, there is an image of St. Honorable de Francia ascending into heaven, if you want to say. And Jesus gave this vision to Louisa. And he said, look, Louisa, look how beautiful he looks. Look how magnificent he looks. And he says, the reason he's coming into heaven like this, he says, is because of the writings that I gave to you, Louisa, because he read them, because he studied them, and he knew them. As a matter of fact, he wanted his congregation to print all the volumes. That was his wish to this, that the books of divine will, the books of heaven, the book of heaven is be published. But unfortunately, that was not done. In Germany, Father Bede was the first priest to publish the writings in German. And 1 through 19 was in Bavaria, where Pope Benedict lived, him and his brother and his family. And the writings of Louisa, Pope Benedict and his brother used to go to the Benedictine monastery where Father Bede lived. And I can just imagine Father Bede seeing these two young boys coming in, you know, wanting God, because he loved Louisa's writings so much that he probably said to them, here's a book I want you to read, The Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, The Hours of the Passion. Because they were published in, I think it was 1911, 1912. Pope Pius XII, Pius X read these. And he said, we must get on our knees because Jesus is speaking to us. So, because when we met the Pope, when we met Cardinal Ratzinger in the secret archives of the Vatican, he was excited that we were there. You know, he knew of Louisa. He really was so happy that we were there. And we'll get to that in a little later. But in volume 6, 9-2, 1905, I, Louisa, found myself outside of myself, and I could see the Holy Father, assisted by our Lord, writing about a new way in which priests should conduct themselves, what they must do, what they must not do, where they must not go. So here, this new way, Jesus tells Louisa this quite often. He says, I'm going to change the priesthood. He says, I'm going to make it to what I have originally planned, not to be distracted by other things, but to focus the importance of the priesthood and how the priesthood is going to bring to the world this abundant life. And that's what Jesus says to Louisa. Address of the Holy Father, Pope St. John Paul II, to the Rogationist Fathers. Okay, this is so important. To the Reverend Father Petrio, the Superior General of the Rogationist, Father of the Heart of Jesus. Very Reverend Father and dear spiritual sons of Blessed Honorable Maria de Francia, your vocation in the Rogate spirit, your mission consists of spreading it. So here, this mission of spreading this. May the richness and the timeliness of the charism of which you are heirs and trustees spur you more each day to make its gift of grace bear fruit for your religious family, for your path of evangelical perfection, and for your distinguished and generous service to the whole church. So here, this he's giving them a command, okay? The modern means that human sciences and contemporary technology make available and that you rightly try to use in your apostolic work will only be effective if they are sustained and guided by the original charismatic inspiration of the blessed founder, St. Honorable de Francia, who saw in the Rogate the means of God himself had provided to bring about that new and divine holiness. See, here the Holy Father knew that his fervor, his zeal that St. Honorable de Francia had is going to bring about a new and divine holiness. And this is something that our God wants us to become aware of. This is not routine. It's not ordinary. This is extraordinary what God is doing, with which the Holy Spirit wishes to enrich Christians at the dawn of the third millennium in order to make Christ the heart of the world. So this zeal that we have for divine will is really to change the face of the earth. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth, all humanity will participate in this. You know, you've heard of the 3 days of darkness. You've heard of the illumination of conscience. You've heard of all the miracle, the warning, all these things are coming. They are going to come. How? I don't know the order. We don't know the sequence. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know this is a different time. How do we know this? Jesus kept on telling Louisa, get ready for this new and divine way of holiness. And here now the Pope says the same thing, this new and divine way of holiness in which the Holy Spirit is going to enrich Christians. Why? At the dawn of the third millennium. The third millennium is the seventh millennium. It was 4,000 years from Adam to the birth of Jesus. And then from Jesus, his crucifixion, death, and resurrection to where we are now is another 2,000 years. Now we've entered the 3,000th year, which is the 7,000th year. A day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. We have entered the seventh day. This is the rest. We are going to rest with God. And it's not sleeping. It's finally, the kingdom is going to be here the way God wanted it from the beginning. So this is what it is. Except these are excerpts of the one Pope Paul II's general audiences referring to the account of creation in the book of Genesis and the interpreting Jesus' resurrection as the new creation. So as Jesus says to Louisa, I rose from the dead so that humanity would rise from their human misery, no longer being dead, but alive, this fullness that he wants us to possess. The apostolic Paul can thus say, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. So this resurrection from the dead, Jesus says to Louisa, I want you to rise from the dead now before you die. I want you to live this abundant life before I want you to have heaven on earth before you die. This is what Jesus keeps on telling Louisa. 1 Corinthians 15:45. In a mysterious but real way, all who believe in Christ share in his glorified reality through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have to understand the Holy Spirit, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this divine will reigning on earth, in reality is here. St. Thomas Aquinas said, if the veil was lifted, we would see that we are in the glorified body around the throne of God, praising God eternally. Well, that's the beatific vision. But right now we're trapped in time and space. We have to get through this. But our hope, our confidence in what God has done, God is doing, and what God will do. I mean, we're going to enter into this new and divine way of holiness. And Jesus says, I want you to begin it now. I want you to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. I want you. That's why he said, with Sister St. Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. What's that? Jesus, I trust in you. I have confidence in you. You are my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You're my everything. And I know I have nothing to worry about. See, when we worry, we keep alive in us the demon of worry. We feed the demon of worry with worry. We've got to starve that demon out. No more worry. No, I trust in Jesus. No more fear. Drive the demon of fear away. No more fear. I trust in Jesus. I am confident in Jesus. No more sorrow. No more sadness. What we want is we want to say to the Lord, you're my God. You're my Savior. You're going to ask me to go through things that are going to be difficult. That's part of life. We're all suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, but it's our cross. It's our life. And Jesus is asking us, are you willing to enter into this abundant life? Do you want what I want to give you? Jesus says. So here Jesus says, In a mysterious but a real way, everyone who believes in Jesus shares in his glorified reality through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And this second Pentecost that's coming, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this harvest, this rogate is coming. It's here. Through the office of Cardinal Ratzinger, Joseph Ratzinger, Pope John Paul permitted the copying of the original volumes of Luisa that were contained in the Vatican archives. It took 4 days, ending on February 2nd, 1996, the feast of the Presentation of Our Lord, the feast of the Purification of Mary, which for Our Lady of Good Success or Our Lady of the Great Event, she said, will happen on the day of the Purification of Mary. In my opinion, my humble opinion, it was when this happened. On February 2nd, on the Feast of the Presentation, the Feast of the Purification of Mary, a great event occurred. The Book of Heaven was released to humanity. The Feast of Light, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. This is the light. This is the glory. This Book of Heaven. And as we read it, as we study it, as we put it into practice, every day you fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with Mary. You fall more in love with the Pope. You fall more in love with the church. And our job is to be firm in our Catholic faith. So let's go now to, and it's not by chance. See, look at this. I see how God works here. We're celebrating his death. And here we're talking about him in this book. Most Reverend Cardinal Joseph Aloysius Ratzinger. His name was Aloysius. That's Luisa's name. And when you look at her birth certificate, it says Aloysia. Jesus said, Saint Aloysius was the most pure of all saints. And he said, Luisa, I want you to be named after the most pure of all saints, Saint Aloysius. So Luisa is from Aloysia, and so is Joseph Ratzinger, Aloysius. He was born and baptized April 16th, 1927, the month of the Holy Eucharist. Easter Sunday, I think, or the birth name, Joseph Aloysius Ratzinger, a name after Saint Aloysius, who was a servant of God, Luisa Picaretta's official name on her baptismal certificate. The world offers you comfort. This is Pope Benedict. Now you have to remember his life. I think he had the toughest pontificate ever. The world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness. When we think about what Jesus says to Luisa, he says, my children are going to be my divine masterpieces for God. We are called to be not just for comfort, which the world can give you, but for greatness. And how do we get to this greatness? How do we become perfected as our Heavenly Father is perfect? As you read the Book of Heaven, Jesus teaches you. I mean, and each and every one of us, when we read something, because of who we are, different fingerprints, different irises, different sizes, different shapes, different colors, different weight. When we understand what the divine will is, Jesus speaks to us individually. So when he talks to us, there's a tone, a hue, a color that we like. Okay. So a lot of people, when they teach the divine will, they talk about the way God has showed them, okay? And it might be the color red, okay? Now, for the rest of us, it could be the color blue, color green, color yellow, all the colors of the rainbow, because Jesus says, my children are going to be children of the rainbow, and it's the rainbow of the promise. So when we read Luisa, and this is why it's so important to read, you're going to hear something that I can't hear. You're going to see something that I can't see. And I can tell you, okay, this is the way it's going to be. and you'll miss what God is saying to you. Well, it's not happening to me. No, the great beauty of the divine will is as you read this, as that's why there's no rules or regulations with the divine will. Jesus says, how much do you want it? 30, 60, or 100-fold. Wherever you are, I will fill that to the brim. Whatever you want. If it's 30%, I'll fill it right to the brim. If you open yourself, as St. Teresa says, the size of a thimble, I'll fill it. If you open yourself to the size of a bathtub, I will fill it. That's what God, he wants each and every one of us to become that divine masterpiece of God. And he does it. So as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, as you enter into this I love you of God, you enter into the divine I love you, the divine life, the divine light of God, what happens at that point is you begin to allow God to make of you his divine masterpiece, not mine, not some saint, not Louisa. She's repeating everything that Jesus told her for us so that we can become what God has planned from the beginning. So again, so this is something that's so astonishing. When the cause of beatification of the canonization of the Luisa Picaretta was officially proposed, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI, at the time prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, nullified the previous condemnations of the index, and thereby removing the impediment to Luisa's cause. Now, why was there impediments? Luisa's confessor, Father Kelvey, he didn't understand the divine will. Sorry about that. So he would read and he'd go, oh, this is wrong. And he'd cross pages out and he'd write, this is what Luisa meant. He'd cross out pages. No, this is what Jesus meant. Cross out pages. When that was read, he did this with the Virgin Mary and the Hours of the Passion. When the Vatican read this, they said, this is heresy. And so they said to Luisa, these are heretical. And Luisa says, I agree, they're heretical. And the reason is, she says, Jesus didn't say this. This, I don't believe this. This is heretical. And it was her confessor that did this. So and there was only two books. It was only two books. And they were already approved by St. Honorable de Francia going to Pope Pius X. He already approved it. They had the Nihil Lepsdat, they had the imprimatur of Archbishop May. We saw those. They were right in the books at the Vatican. And the interesting thing is, she was never condemned, but her writings were, but they weren't her writings. So when Cardinal Ratzinger saw this, he says, hey, it wasn't her. She didn't do this. Thus, on the Feast of Christ the King, Sunday, November 20th, 1994. Now, think about that. The cause began on the Feast of Christ the King. And when you read what Jesus said in 1925, and we didn't have those writings at that time. We didn't have those writings. And Jesus said to Luisa, the church instinctively knows what's coming. And he says they had the cause of the Feast of Christ the King to prepare the church for the people. See, he says, I am king, but I have no people yet. What does that mean? Those that don't have the fullness of this gift that Adam lost, the fullness of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. He says, this is going to happen in the future. So little by little, this is happening. Now no one has the fullness yet. Luisa does. But the great day is coming, Jesus says, when the kingdom of God is going to be on earth as it is in heaven. That's in volume 24. And the whole world is going to be so joy-filled, they're going to say, how did this happen? How did the kingdom come? And Jesus said it would be through Luisa and those linked to Luisa. That's our job. Our job, the priest's job, is to get the people to embrace this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. This is our job. So Thus, on the Feast of Christ the King, Sunday, November 20th, 1994, the process for the cause of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, was finally opened. And most recently, the second theologian assigned to evaluate the writings of Luisa Picaretta by the Vatican Congregation for the Causes of the Saints has given a positive, that is, favorable judgment. Now, this has happened four times so far. They've read the writings and they said the first theologians that did this said, thank you, Jesus. They thanked Jesus that they could participate in reading what was coming. They were so thankful. And here it says the saints, causes of the saints gave a positive, that is, favorable judgment. This means that both of the official censors, a suborium of the cause of Luisa, found nothing contrary to the faith in her writings, and her cause can now go forward. That was from Father Bucci. Father Bucci was the promoter of the faith. It used to be called the devil's advocate. They would hear, okay, these are the things against Luisa, and either they're true or they weren't true. And he was the promoter of the faith, and he worked on the cause. He was an amazing man, a great priest. He worked in the same OFM, he was where Padre Pio lived, Giovanni Rotondo. He was a member of that group. And when we would say, what book was Padre Pio reading when he received the stigmata? Every time we asked Father Bucci, he would just smile because he's not, nobody knows yet. He would smile and he'd laugh and he goes, someday we'll find out. He knew what it was. And more than likely, see, at that time, they were reading the 24 Hours of the Passion. The way he would laugh, the way he would talk, the way he would giggle when that was brought up, said to me, when this comes out, it's going to be another great awareness of Luisa and what Jesus has done with Luisa. His Eminence Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, Prefect of the Sacred Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith during his pontificate, of His Holiness John Paul II has been chosen by the Holy Spirit as the Supreme Pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church and Apostolic Church precisely in these times. Everything's going to change. You have to understand. What did Our Lady say to Father Gobi? Our Lady speaks to her beloved priest. And I know a lot of people still read Father Gobi, but Father Gobi said, read Luisa. He said it very clearly. Yeah, we were with him at that time, and he said, I can't tell you about this. He says, you're going to have to read this and study this. And Our Lady said in the last talk, the last apparition or locution to Father Gobi, Christmas of 1997, she says, everything's completed. Everything's done. What's done? What's completed? What is Our Lady saying? What had happened was the writings came out in 1996. And finally, and it was Acuna's, he's the one that brought this up to Cardinal Ratzinger. Acuna was the one who went to Rome to talk to Cardinal Ratzinger about Luisa. And through his Archbishop of Mexico City. And there's a letter that Acuna's daughter has that says very clearly, the writings of Luisa are basically okay to read. And that was one of the first things that was done in 1990. So this is what's really great. Precisely in these times in which the era of the third divine fiat begins, as the fulfillment to the petition of the Our Father, Advenient regnum tuum, fia voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. It's Jesus says it's being fulfilled now. Our time. And how do we know it's our time? Jesus says, because of the book of heaven. That's what Jesus tells Luisa. We have to be aware. It's not the end of the world. I listened to Our Lady of Revelation to Bruno in 1947. What did Our Lady say to Bruno in 1947? She said, time has now come to an end. And Bruno panics and he says, the end of the world. And she says, no, the end of this era. The new era is coming. The third era is coming. Everything is falling apart in the world. Look at the protests and Germany and in France and in England and even in Ireland, South America, Brazil, all over the place. Why? The kingdom is coming. The evil one, his time is coming to an end, and it's coming to an end very quickly. Our job is to get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. This, and you have to get ready for this. If you're not ready for this, it's like not getting the ticket to get on the plane. You've got to be ready for what God is doing. And this is what, just listen. And His Holiness Benedict the 16th knows about this new era, and God has prepared him over time, making him know and study the writings of Luisa Picaretta, the little daughter of the divine will, chosen by God for the mission of opening the doors of the kingdom of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. The Pope has the keys to the kingdom. And now that he has gone, this is a good sign. He died at the last day of the year, the eve of the great day of the Solemnity of Mary. Now this is, I mean, he went to heaven with this great celebration of Our Lady, Mother of the Holy Church. What a great joy he must have experienced coming into the kingdom at that time. Monsignor, we pray for his soul. We don't know if he's went to heaven. He probably has to go to purgatory to be purged of everything, but what a great guy. What a great man. Monsignor Ricardo, at the end of 1989, when he made a visit ad libitum, visit after every 5 years that every bishop makes to the Holy Father to inform him about the diocese in his charge, he also made an appointment with the prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, the office, Holy Office, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. And he talked to Cardinal Ratzinger and gave him the appendix written by my father, Jose Acuna. This is his daughter writing this. The cardinal looked very interested because before so many problems and attacks to the church, inside and outside of the church, he wanted to have a more luminous view of the future of the church. And the appendix talked about the attacks and the problems in the church, yes, but also those attacks are originated precisely by the devil and his partisans to impede or delay in the church and through the church, the whole world, the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So all that's happening is just the devil trying to stop what God, Jesus says, this is a divine decree. Nothing can stop this. No one can stop what's coming. No one can stop what's coming. He says this, the purpose, the establishing the kingdom of God on earth as in heaven, this is the purpose for which the church was founded by Jesus Christ. However, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven is an eternal decree. Since Jesus himself, eternal incarnate of the world, word, announced it, asking for this kingdom and making us ask for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And each Our Father that we say every single day, there is a magisterium received from the same mouth of Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it will come and it will be done. Guided by the magisterium of our Holy Mother, the Church, and let's open wide the doors of our hearts to the Redeemer and to the kingdom of God on earth, on us, in us, as it is in heaven, as we know that this kingdom is the full fruit of the incarnation of the Word. God is doing this. It's time. This is why I'm saying you got to have this zeal for what's coming. It's that, you know, you watch these football games, you're seeing pigskin being thrown across the field and everybody's cheering, you know, soccer, hockey, but golf, tennis, everybody's screaming. Yes, the kingdom is coming. That's where we should be. We should be screaming. Yes, fiat, let it happen soon. Our whole life should be, especially the priests, should be focused on getting the people ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Due to the interest shown by Cardinal Ratzinger, now this is Acuna's daughter, my father thought of visiting him in order to tell him more about the kingdom of the divine will and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. He talked about it with the Monsignor, and he gave my father a recommendation letter so that Cardinal Ratzinger could receive them. So in the Vatican, my parents were admitted. This is Acuna and his wife were admitted to the private mass of Cardinal Ratzinger. And afterwards, they approached him. After the interview with Cardinal Ratzinger, I think this is Acuna who's speaking. I waited for him outside the chapel to take a picture with him and put it in the chapel to which he gladly agreed. I repeated what had been pertained to Luisa was very important for the church. And he gave us his blessing and we said goodbye. Then coming back to Mexico, my dad talked to the Monsignor about the interview with Cardinal Ratzinger. And he said, with the beatification of Blessed Honorable de Francia, that was October 7th, 1990. His writings has also been approved by the church and therefore also the prefaces to the works of Luisa. After the beatification, Monsignor Ricardo went to see Cardinal Ratzinger once again and spoke to him about Luisa Picaretta, her writings, and the fact of the beatification of Father Inibile, the one who had published The Hours of the Passion, who had written the introduction of the book and had given testimony about the importance of the mission and the writings of Luisa in the church. And His Eminence Cardinal Ratzinger answered him by saying, all the writings of Luisa must be approved. This is where we are. Blessed Honorable de Francia, was later canonized in 2004, and thus the church approved everything that the Saint Honorable de Francia said about Luisa, her mission, and her writings. And she put him in as an example for these times. Subsequently, the Monsignor went to Corrado to the Association Luisa Picaretta. He celebrated Holy Mass, and there he met with the Archbishop of Trani, the Archbishop Giuseppe Carata, notifying him about the conversation he had with Cardinal Ratzinger. Now, you got to remember, Archbishop Carata studied Luisa when he was a seminarian. They studied the writings of Luisa when he was a seminarian. So God is so amazing. He put the man who loved Luisa as the archbishop. And then after him was Archbishop Cassati, who was my spiritual director's best friend. They were ordained together. And then they brought in Archbishop Piccheri, who, if you haven't seen The Dawn of a Mystery, you're going to hear from the Archbishop's mouth exactly what's happening and why this is going to change the face of the earth, as Jesus says. And then now we have the new Archbishop DeCenzo, and he was the chaplain for John Paul II at the Vatican. He was the chaplain at St. Peter's for John Paul II. So anyway, some great things are happening. Amazing things are happening. And we'll stop there and we'll come back next week, hopefully. And just listen to the last thing. All the writings of Luisa must be approved. And that's what's happening. If anybody tells you that they're not approved, I remember talking to a sister or Mother Gabriel. I remember hearing it right from the mouth of the Archbishop. He says, I don't know who said you couldn't read the writings. He said, I never said that. He says, I don't know who started this. Unfortunately, we know that the evil one doesn't want these writings out. So you have a treasure, read it, study it, put it into practice. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa, and we pray for the repose of the soul of Pope Benedict, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.